Phineas Shines and sold out Chicago show, proving his growing influence as a solo artist. And Poetics and Horses, a night of poetry and song. These stories and more coming up. From Northwestern University, this is WNUR News at 6. On February 14th, the Department of Education announced that it would give schools 2 weeks to eliminate race-based programs. Jessica Watts and Aja Raha spoke to students involved in these programs to see where they go from here.
In 2023, the Supreme Court ruled that schools cannot use race as a factor in choosing which students to accept. The Education Department took this ruling one step further, saying universities cannot consider race in admissions, scholarships, housing, or, quote, all other aspects of student, academic, and campus life, end quote. After this announcement, Northwestern University President Michael Schill sent out a letter to the school community. This letter attempted to address the uncertainty surrounding President Donald Trump's new policies affecting universities nationwide. Many students feel that Schill's attempt fell short. Medill sophomore Jorge Martinez is one of them.
I wish in these times of crisis, our leaders like Michael Schill and other university administrators really stand up and say we're going to support our students, you know, because it doesn't just impact students, it impacts research funding, for example. So I really hope that university administrators and presidents like Schill really are able to grow a backbone and stand up for students who need it the most.
Part of Schill's letter includes the following quote: "We currently are analyzing the executive order and Office of Civil Rights letter and their potential impacts on the university. As we do that review, we bear in mind that our choices could have major impacts on the university community. In the days and weeks ahead, Northwestern leaders will work with members of our community to assess and, in some cases, implement changes."
Since this February 19th email, the university has adopted several changes. Nearly all undergraduate and graduate schools have removed their DEI web pages. Northwestern Career Advancement got rid of almost all identity-based resources. And NU's Office of Civil Rights took down its pages on affirmative action and diversity recruitment.
While the future of DEI and race-related programs at Northwestern are unknown, students are making efforts to continue them, with or without federal funds.
I think, like, we know what we do is important, and we know that no matter what, you know, we're going to keep making theater with our friends, our artists of color, because it's important. It's an important outlet. So, you know, DEI, you know, law or whatever, you know, we're going to do what's best for ourselves and our community. And if that means they cut our funding, then we'll do it in a park. We'll do it in our houses. We'll do it wherever we need to do it to create this community and feel safe. So while obviously it's tragic and really frustrating that this is happening, at the same time, it will not curtail us in any way.
That was Sam Hernandez, founding member of Vibrant Colors Collective. VC Squared is a Northwestern theater organization that strives to approach and produce theater through a multicultural lens. Medill sophomore Dallas Thurman echoes Hernandez's sentiment.
So many people are out of jobs, so many people are losing these safe spaces that they hold, like, dear to their hearts, and sometimes it feels that they're being removed without any remorse or any, like, empathy for those communities. But I do think, even if they are gone, I definitely think students will play a big role in, like, shaping Northwestern culture still, and, like, even if the groups aren't, like, official, they'll definitely be on the low or something. I think students will find a way to, you know, navigate this, because I think students have already started doing that.
For Martinez, affinity groups are incredibly important. He says that they have made his time at Northwestern special.
I think all affinity-based organizations and clubs are really important because as underrepresented students, especially at a predominantly white institution like Northwestern, we need safe spaces. We need a place to find people who look like us, who come from similar backgrounds as us. You know, and it's a really scary place to be at when you don't have those kind of support systems.
Martinez is also a founding member of Alpha Psi Lambda, a co-ed Latinx fraternity. He stressed the importance of the Multicultural Greek Council on the Northwestern community.
I know as a queer Latino student in my first year, I was just met with overwhelming support in the clubs that were offered at Northwestern, particularly fraternities and sororities. I can give the example of ASI. We're based on our founding principle of familia, which means family in Spanish, right? And that really bonds us together to not just look out for one another, respect each other, love one another, but also to really extend that compassion to our community, to give back to not just the MGC community, but the greater Northwestern community.
For some Northwestern students, These recent changes inspire action. Thurman spoke about being an advocate for her community through her career as a journalist.
I think we need to, like, dig deep, especially as students. This is our time to, like, not only learn, but, like, get practice. Definitely as Black journalists, too. It's not our job to be, like, the spokesperson of the Black community, but it's definitely, like, who else is gonna do it, really?
While the future of student groups may be up in the air, it's not only these groups and their physical spaces that may be impacted by these executive orders. Scholarships, grants, and research funding are also at risk. The uncertainty of the future is stressful, to say the least.
Feels like there is no real clear guidance on how to proceed or even how dismantling DEI would really be put into a policy. And many of those executive orders are being challenged in court, and so we have to wait to see how all those legal battles unfold. And it's just DEI, no one really understands what it is, but we feel the effects of it, right? We feel the effects when our elected leaders suddenly start pointing fingers. And the end of those fingers are students who look like me, students who work really hard to get where we are, who work, I would say, twice as hard to get half as far as our wealthy, affluent, white counterparts. I am not a talking point. I'm a person, and recently I've just been feeling really exhausted.
A federal judge has temporarily blocked parts of Trump's anti-DEI executive orders. The judge said universities may self-censor to comply with Trump's demands. The ruling does not mention the Education Department's February 14th letter. For WNUR News, I'm Asher Rana.
And I'm Jessica Watts.
Last Wednesday, singer, songwriter, and producer Phineas came to Chicago for a sold-out show at the Salt Shed. Mary Amelia Weiss and Ilse von Heimberg went to check it out.
Singer, songwriter, and producer Phineas, who made his way to Chicago this past week as he nears the end of his For Crying Out Loud tour. Fans gathered at the Salt Shed for his Wednesday night show, an indoor-outdoor music space in Westtown. He performed for a sold-out crowd, which he thanked the audience members for at the beginning of his set.
Phineas's rising solo success in recent years highlights a notable trend in the entertainment industry. Producers behind major hits often receive far less recognition and commercial success than the artists they work with.
Known mostly for producing prolific songs for his younger sister, Billie Eilish, Phineas's career has largely been one of supporting other artists. He has also worked with Lizzie McAlpine, Ash, and more. This past week, however, it became clear that the 27-year-old producer has established a sound and brand of his own.
I mean, we started listening to Billie Eilish and then found out that Phineas was producing all of her music and stuff, and then saw what he was doing on his own, and that was really, really cool, so yeah, just gonna keep it that way.
Fans like Molly Armstrong expressed their excitement ahead of the show and how they've become fans of Phineas as an individual artist.
He's just got a different quality to his voice, and they're just doing such different things now. At first, it was a little more similar, I feel like, but now they're going in different directions a little bit.
The show began with a set from the opener Bad Sons, an indie rock band from Woodland Hills, California, who perform hits like Swimming in the Moonlight and Salt.
Some fans, like concert-goer Leah Peitzman, actually only attended the concert for Bad Sons' 45-minute set.
I've listened to them since, like, I was in high school. Like, one of my friends liked them, and then I just started listening to them. They've also been on tour with a couple other bands that I like the band Camino and The Wildlife. So I've seen them, like, multiple times there. I'm curious to see, but again, I bought the tickets for the Bad Sons and not for Phineas.
Began at around 8:30 p.m. when Phineas took the stage. His second song, Lotus Eater, was a fan favorite from his 2024 album For Crying Out Loud. When asked about what she was most excited to hear, Armstrong said,
"Probably Lotus Eater. That's my favorite off the new album."
And other fans shared this enthusiasm as well.
Lotus Eater. I'm gonna be honest, I really love this song. I'm very excited.
Fans like H. Ash highlighted the impact of a renowned producer's transition into a lesser-known solo artist. Ash decided to attend the concert alone,
eager to fully immerse herself in Phineas's music.
I saw, like, Spotify sent me a little message being like, Phineas is having a concert in Chicago, and I was like, oh my god, that's so exciting. And I'm here by myself. I just figured it'd be, like, a fun little thing for me to do. I love listening to live music, so, like, thought it'd be fun Wednesday night.
Phineas went on to perform a 19-song set, including hits from his new album and deeper cuts from some of his earlier works. After fan favorite Lotus Eater, he played Cleats and Sweet Cherries, and then moved on to What's It Gonna Take to Break Your Heart. This one was a particular highlight because of the singer's impeccable stage presence and the colorful lighting that complemented the slower mood of the song.
The middle of the show also included some slower songs, like Angel and Partners in Crime.
With these ballads, he kept the crowd at the Salt Shed captivated with his clear, smooth vocals. His versatility also shone through as he seamlessly switched between guitar and piano, all while maintaining his powerful vocals.
And more upbeat tracks like 2001 and Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, interspersed in the set, increased the crowd's energy even further.
Before Mona Lisa, Mona Lisa, a song about his long-term girlfriend Claudia Saluski, Phineas told the crowd about his love for Chicago, Saluski's hometown, and his fond memories visiting the city in years past, adding a personal touch to the show. What set Phineas's Wednesday night show apart was the strong sense of community among his fans, who came together to support a rising artist in an intimate personal setting.
It's common knowledge that producers of some of the most successful songs in the business often have their own solo work go underappreciated and underplayed. Take pop producing legend Jack Antonoff, for example. Antonoff's work with his band Bleachers has garnered far less attention than his collaborations with artists like Taylor Swift, Lorde, Lana Del Rey, and Sabrina Carpenter.
Phineas, for his part, has said in past interviews that if he is only known as Billie Eilish's brother, he is more than okay with that. And for the most part, that's how many think of him.
His only Grammy Award win without his sister, for example, was for his Producer of the Year in 2020 for his work on Eilish's 2019 album, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go?
However, after attending his show, it's clear that the producer-turned-solo artist is carving out his own fan community and musical niche. Eilish's current tour in support of her 2024 album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, marks the first time she's touring without her brother by her side, and the differences in their sounds are becoming more apparent.
While Billie's music has become more experimental and atmospheric, Phineas's solo work leans more towards a stripped-down, introspective style, highlighting his ability to blend heartfelt ballads with upbeat indie pop energy.
I've been a really big Billie fan, but I feel like he has, like, his own music, and I love both of them individually, but, like, I would say I listen to him not because of Billie, but, like, in addition.
Regardless of why fans showed up on Wednesday, Phineas said multiple times that he was grateful that they did.
To wrap up the concert, Phineas performed For Crying Out Loud and Family Feud, a touching number about his relationship with his sister. A rendition of his hit song Till Forever Falls Apart was also a standout, both for the energy and the way Phineas and his band eagerly jumped around the stage during the beat drops. Their enthusiasm for the song was infectious.
The winners of the night were not just Phineas's excited fans, but also the performer himself.
Those who follow music and entertainment should keep an eye on the artist, both for his already prolific production catalog and his rising solo career. Phineas seems to be carving out his own niche as a singer, and the excitement from fans of the Salt Shed was a testament to his growing influence.
For WNUR News, I'm Mary Amelia Weiss.
And I'm Ilse von Heimberg. Last week, the Poetry and Poetics Colloquium at Northwestern held a gathering of poetry and song with a musical guest and an auto harp. Reporter Mika Ellison has the story.
On a Wednesday evening, a collection of people gathered in the Hagstrom Room in University Hall. Also there was an auto harp, several collections of poetry, and a guitar.
All right. Hi, everyone. Hi. Thank you all so much for being here. If you don't know me, I'm the graduate assistant at the Poetry and Poetics Cluster and Colloquium, and I'm thrilled to welcome you all.
That was how S. Yarbury, the graduate assistant of the Poetry and Poetics Colloquium, introduced the event. Titled A Night of Poetry and Song, the event was part of a series of events themed around the concept of poetry and its others. Yarbury introduced the guest of the night, poet Julian Talamantes Berlaski, with a personal anecdote.
On a personal note, I'm just thrilled to have Julian visiting us all the way from Santa Barbara. We met a few years back when I was down in California doing kind of a goofy reading at the Santa Barbara Public Library, and the rest is history. Here we are. And so when Poetry and Poetics thought about doing a series organized around these different modalities and shapes of poetry, I knew Julian would be the awesome poet to think with and learn from on this topic.
Berlaski is a poet and country singer who has released an EP with its band, Juan and the Pines, as well as a solo full-length album, It's Okay, Honey. Berlaski was in conversation with musicology professor Ryan Dahoney, the author of multiple books and director of graduate music studies at Northwestern. Dahoney and Berlaski had also met previously in New York and bonded over a shared interest in folk music.
We have this shared interest in Americana music, so I was so excited when that suggested this conversation, and so I prepared a reading and just thinking about like the availability of poetry to music and the way that music can become poetry and the kind of interstices of those things. I'm gonna display the poems as I read them, and also the lyrics of the songs, which is something I don't usually do, but I thought would be interesting since we're thinking about like text, poetic text.
Dahoney also brought up the theme of poetry and time.
Not only the kind of unfolding of time in poetry, but also the time register, like the sentence we sort of like can, not always, right? But at least when we hear poems in the way for lovers, it's this sort of compound of time on top of it.
You're talking about like layers of atomism?
For Berlaski, the interweaving of poetry and music, and the similarities and perceived differences between them, is an important aspect of its work.
Well, it's funny that people often talk about like film and like music as time-based media, and I don't think people talk about poetry as time-based media.
Berlaski also drew comparisons between a variety of inspiration for its songs and poetry, ranging from medieval lyrics to folk tradition. Yarbury ended a part of their introduction by bringing together poetry, music, and others, while also explaining the theme of the night.
Poetry and its others shows that we understand what poetry is by examining its interplay with what it is not.
Of course, the night would be incomplete without music. Accompanied by Dahoney on the auto harp, here's Berlaski playing a song. For WNUR News, I'm Mika Ellison.
A brief look at the forecast. Tuesday will have a low of 40 and a high of 48 with a 70% chance of rain. Wednesday will have a low of 26 and a high of 48 with an 80% chance of rain. And Thursday will be sunny with a low of 25 and a high of 40. Taking a look into the headlines in Evanston, Chicagoland, and across the nation and globe.
student body weighs impact on Black community controversy over racial slur as Lovers and Mad Men cancels final Assassins shows. Third Ward candidates, mayoral hopefuls, discuss plans for city's future at forum. Proposed cuts to Medicaid could affect more than 1 million people across the nation. That's all for WNUR News at 6 p.m. For more updates and reports, follow us on X at WNUR News and Instagram at WNUR News 893. You can listen to these and other WNUR stories on our website, WNURnews.org. That's WNURnews.org. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Our producer today is Ella Smith, and our reporters are Jessica Watts, Asha Rana, Ilsa von Heimberg, Mary Amelia Weiss, Mika Ellison, and Ethan Pan. I'm Sydney Gall. That's all for tonight. We will see you on Wednesday. Now, back to scheduled programming.